The reading today is from Luke 4, verses 1 through 3. It's kind of the first, Jesus before this has just been baptized, and he's kind of been commissioned. He's been called God's beloved Son, in whom God is well pleased. And then he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And the tempter said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "From Scripture, for it is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil took him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the tempter said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I'll give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him from Scripture, "For it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" And then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle, the highest part of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
As I was sitting across the block at the Ash Wednesday service that we do with St. Luke's Episcopal Church, I remembered something that had happened a number of years ago. I remembered it was Monday of the start of Lent, and I could not find my purple stole. And then I remembered I had lost it in the move or left it someplace, and I never remember until the day that I need it. And I've got to tell you, in San Francisco, you can't buy a stole. In the South, you could, but you can't here. So I, in a panic, called the new priest at St. Luke's and said, "Do you have a stole I can borrow?" And she, you could hear her just rolling her eyes on the phone, and she said, "Yes, I do. Come over and borrow one of mine. I'm in the sanctuary." So I walked into the sanctuary, and her chancel had been changed into a desert. Maybe some of you saw it. Up where the communion and the retable is, there's kind of sandy cloth and rocks and cactus, and it looks like a desert. She told me she actually had tumbleweed, but someone in a cleaning fit had thrown it away last year. She had this all set up. It was magnificent, but she was moving rocks from it. I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, I have two funerals in the next 2 days." And I said, "You have to take it all down to do the funeral?" And she goes, "Oh, no. I'm just moving the rocks so I can put some flowers in there, too." And I thought, in some ways, that seemed perfect. Because when we have a death, or we have a loss, or we're grieving, it feels like we're kind of in a desert. And we come to a service hoping for that one little bloom of hope, of a resurrection, of life promise that will grow once again, even though we are grief-filled and parched and have sandy, kind of dry souls. So I was glad to be in that sanctuary again this Ash Wednesday, because I'm caught by that image of building a desert in the sanctuary. Because Lent, I think that's kind of what we do. We build a desert, a wilderness experience in our lives, leading up to Easter. And you know how the wilderness has been important for the people of God. It's a place where the people of God encounter the Lord, a place where they figure out what they're to be about and how to be God's community. I mean, Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years learning to trust God. Elijah had 40 days in the wilderness before he could hear that still small voice of God. Moses spent 40 days trying to figure out what the law was going to be. And Jesus, we know that he often goes into desolate places, mountains, quiet places, to pray, to feed his soul. And here at the beginning of Lent in this story, we find Jesus in the wilderness, in a dry, harsh, rocky, unhospitable land. It's between his baptism and the beginning of his public ministry, and he's been fasting for 40 days. He may have drunk some water, but he wouldn't have eaten much. And he's led there by the Spirit. Do you get that? It's an intentional journey. And there he is tested by the devil or the tempter. And I am intrigued this year. I think about those three questions he has asked. And what I'm caught by is that the devil doesn't challenge him to do bad things. It's kind of to do, in some ways, things that look like they're of God. You're going to feed people. You turn all the rocks into bread. There's enough to feed everyone. He's kind of tempted that, here, I'll teach you how to rule the world. Or I'll teach you how to serve God faithfully. Kind of look good on the surface, but they're not. See, Jesus refused to be the kind of leader, follow in the way that the tempter was asking him to. See, he refused to turn bread into stones, but he does feed people in his ministry. He refused the idea of a political power being in control, and he chose to proclaim God's kingdom instead through justice and peace. He refused to jump off a temple to see if maybe God would pick him up. He goes instead to the cross with confidence that God's will for his life will trump the world and its decision to execute him. As one person wrote, game, set, and match for Jesus. Now, I'm not going to preach on those temptations specifically, because really I'm drawn into this image of wilderness. This wilderness time that Jesus was led by the Spirit into and went voluntarily offered him kind of a sorting through time, a figuring out of what he was going to do and whose he was going to be. Kind of figuring out what it means to be called God's beloved son, and who he would follow and how he would lead and what he would teach. A time of making choices, and they were costly choices. A time to figure out who he would teach about and what he would teach with his life. He kind of started envisioning the kingdom of God and to the God he would be obedient to. It's through these tests that Jesus sets the ground rules, the benchmarks for his life and for his ministry. I'm caught by this wilderness is a time of discernment. It's a time when he kind of got himself ready. I have a friend who's working with clay lately, and she reminded me, when you work with clay, you make a pot or something, and you have to make sure it doesn't have any cracks or imperfections in it, because if it does, when it goes into the kiln, it will just shatter. It may look really pretty, but if it's got imperfections or cracks, the heat will get in and it will break. See, I think it's like Jesus was kind of getting shaped and getting rid of the imperfections, so when he hit the heat, the kiln, the hard time, he would not shatter. So this is a time to get hardened, to get ready for what lays ahead. And so there he was, emptying of himself so God could fill him. I think that's the not eating so he could start finding focus on God. It's often what happens in fasting. Now, I have to admit, many of us don't long to be in the wilderness. I mean, actual wilderness. I know two people in this church that actually camp on the ground. The rest of us would go, you know, glamping, where we need a decent mattress and a bathroom. Being hard for us would be sharing it with another person. But the wilderness that we're talking about here is hard. It's a desolate place. And in Lent, we're choosing to go there. Really? Here, crazy people, let's go into a wilderness. Let's make ourselves, our lives difficult. Well, you don't really have to go into actual wilderness. You know desolate times in your lives. I mean, it happens living right here in the Bay Area. It can do with illness or job issues or worry or relationships or depression. I mean, or how we disappoint people or how they disappoint us. It feels like we are in wilderness times often. And we may try to stay away from them, but there they are. We know there is wilderness times in our lives, and we cannot get away from them. How about we walk into them and see what we may learn in the process? Barbara Brown Taylor talks about wilderness and not just the ones in the desert. Maybe wilderness looks like a hospital waiting room to you, or sheets in a cheap hotel after you've been kicked out of your house. Or maybe it looked like the parking lot where you couldn't find your car after you were fired, or the bus just moves on past you. It may even have been a kind of desert in the middle of your own chest, where you begged for a word from God and heard nothing but the wheezing bellows of your own breath. Wildernesses can come in so many shapes and sizes that the only way you can really tell you're in one is to look around for what you normally count on to save your life, and you come up empty. Again, a crazy thing about Lent, it's like a wilderness of the soul, and we are choosing to go there. It's an invitation, an opportunity to be tested, to discover, as they'd say, to suss out what is going on in our lives, to see where there is weakness so we may make ourselves stronger for the fires, for the hard times that lay ahead. You know, with a pot, when you put glaze on it, it doesn't look very pretty, but then you fire it and it comes out amazing. See, sometimes in those hard times, in the desolate, in the firing, we come out beautiful and stronger if we can pay attention, if we can start practicing being dependent on God. Some of you at Lent will give something up. And maybe you'll give something up like cookies. Really lovely. But the idea is to give something up so you can see what you are dependent on, to see where you might be trying to fill a need with something else but God. Or maybe you're going to, as one scholar said, take upon yourselves the intention of receptivity to God's grace, so that we may be worthily participating in the mystery of God in us. Isn't that interesting? That you may take upon the intention to be receptive to God's grace in your life. Lent can be 40 days to remember what it's like to live on the grace of God alone and not what we can supply ourselves. You know, I wonder if you might just choose to go into the wilderness this year, of emptying yourself so God may fill us up. And I got to tell you, it's hard. I have the best intentions, but sometimes by week 3, I'm over it. See, I'm saying this year, we work hard and we take up a practice and we stay with it. Or we give something up and we stay with it so that we may hear something in the emptiness. I know one church that decided to give up cell phones when they were in the church building. Yeah, they weren't like for the whole time. Because really? Yeah. And the youth group did this. When you went into youth group, you put your phones in a basket. It was a struggle, but they were able to do it. They asked the same of the adults. Guess what? Wouldn't do it. Oh, I need it. And the youth later talked about in those meetings, they actually heard better. They stopped worrying. They stopped looking at the texts their friends were having and why they weren't getting them. It was an interesting process. I would love to tell you they gave up cell phones the whole time. I don't know. In my imagination, they did. But it was the giving up of that so God could get in. Or maybe you're going to really take on a new practice. You've got the devotional book. What if you actually forced yourself to read it every day? I mean, I know that most of you brush your teeth every day. You drink water every day. I mean, we can do some things every day. What if you kind of make yourself take on a practice like that? Doesn't have to be the book we give you. You can go online. You can find anything. And if that's not working, we're offering that class next week, a workshop to learn a spiritual discipline that would work for you. There's a lot of ways out there. Why don't you go and actually find one that may fit you? Fit the empty places in your life. Maybe you'll take up an action. You'll put some money in that little cute fish. Not because it's just fun, but you do it because you can remember you always have enough. And to start to live in a sense of abundance and not scarcity. Here's my challenge, friends. I want us to walk in the wilderness during Lent. Great, come to church. I want you to be really uncomfortable. Ooh, that's why I came. But you know, we got that in our lives already. Let's have some courage to examine and see where we've got those weak spots. To get a little bit stronger, because there will be chances and times in life where we have to make choices, costly choices. You see it over there. Bread or stone, what will you choose? So let's get ready to go in some ways to outward bound for the soul this Lent. Let's go into the wilderness. Let's empty ourselves so we can learn to be more full of God. We're given this time to sort out, to throw away, to get ready, to make some costly choices that will turn us towards God. Turning more to God to be more like the child of God we are. So we can move in the way so we will be Easter people, people of the resurrection. May it be so. Amen.